You're listening to the Transport for the North podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Transport for the North podcast. My name is James Barber and I'm the host of the podcast and also TFN's Public Affairs and Engagement Officer. Joining me today is Callum Redditon, who is our Policy and Strategy Officer, who has led on TFN's really exciting rural mobility work. So thank you very much for joining me today, Callum.
Hi, James. Yes, thanks for having me.
Brilliant. So rural mobility is an area that I'm sure you'll agree, Callum, it sometimes gets left behind and forgotten about in the transport industry. It's an area that we don't always talk about. So I think the first thing really for me is, how would you define sort of rural and that sort of transport related mobility?
Yes, James, totally agree around rural mobility. Definitely opportunities to progress schemes and initiatives in these areas. But at the moment, there's a sense that these places are getting left behind across both the North and the wider UK. Rural represents diverse places across the North and the UK. It's typically characterised by the countryside and both sparse and remote areas, but also more fringe areas. So there's rural areas classified on the cusp of towns and also on the fringe of more urban areas. So it's intertwined between urban areas and places across both the North and the wider UK. But typically we define it as outside of settlements with more than 10,000 residents. These more rural areas include also coastal areas and a range of visitor destinations as well. And in terms of mobility, we're considering how residents, visitors, organisations move around and interact with the area. Within rural, it's important to understand it's not just transport, but also to recognise the implications of digital connectivity, spatial planning and land use as well. Totally agree in terms of rural areas have been left behind. I think there's a range of challenges that rural areas face. We're quite keen within TFN to work with our partners, with DFT, and with other STBs to actually resolve some of these problems, not just for residents, but also for organisations and visitors that interact with these places. Examples include poor digital connectivity, limited active travel infrastructure, but also the seasonality of these areas. So in terms of demand, there's greater demand in the national parks in summer peaks from tourists versus winter time when there's less demand on the network. Decarbonisation is a significant one. We find that rural transport generates on average 3 times more the emissions of urban travel. So in terms of the race to net zero, this is really important. High car dependency is significant in rural areas too, with a lot of more rural people more dependent on car transport. In terms of bus travel, we found that more than one in every four bus services vanished in county areas over the last decade across the UK. This dramatic fall is having a significant impact on transport choices in rural areas. We found that between 2004 and 2019, a TFN study has found that annual bus mileage across the whole of the North has shrank by over 114 million miles. And for rural residents in particular, this means that it's forcing more rural users to use car travel instead. There's also more implications around the population makeup within an ageing population in some of rural areas, but also the brain drain and attracting people to jobs in these areas has become more difficult. This ultimately leads to a wealth variation in rural areas. Finally, in terms of how we're funding rural schemes and interventions, there's an issue with revenue funding and making the case for investment in these areas. Typical cost-benefit analysis favours the economic value, but we're looking at how we can consider social and environmental outcomes in rural areas too, to make a better case for investment in rural areas.
Thank you for that, Callum. I think it's really interesting to hear all the different sort of definitions of how we would define the different challenges that are faced by rural communities. We'd all agree in the North, obviously, that you can go anywhere. You go up to Cumbria, to the districts, and all these different national parks that are absolutely fantastic assets to the North of England. But sometimes, as you say, they do get left behind. So moving forward into, obviously, we've defined some of the challenges there, and there's clearly quite a lot of different challenges that require a lot of different work streams to tackle them. What's already been done, sort of, first of all, by TFN and also on a national level as well, that we've built on?
I think that's a really good point in terms of what's been done to date. For TFN, we've obviously worked on the Strategic Transport Plan 2, which is currently finished consultation. And as part of this, we're quite keen to look at the three strategic ambitions the North want to achieve. And this is within the economic prize of closing the productivity gap with the North and the wider UK, something that rural economies play a significant role in, regional decarbonisation and the need to achieve near zero carbon emissions of surface transport by 2045, and to be more socially inclusive, to remove the risk of transport-related social exclusion for over 1 million people across the North. All three of these are really important drivers within rural mobility. For us, we've embedded this within our policy position, and our rural mobility policy position actually sets out how we can work and help to support our partners to seek to address these issues, but also then to understand the impact of public transport cost, car dependency, and also limited service and accessibility. All of these are embedded within CU Transport Plan 2, and these issues are highlighted in more recent TFM work streams that relate to rural mobility, such as transport-related social exclusion, decarbonisation, and our recent work on the Northern Transport Voices. More widely, within national government, the Future of Transport Rural Strategy, the call for evidence has been published, but there's now delays to the final strategy adoption, and it's critical for government to progress this to act now. Otherwise, rural areas will be left behind and the benefits of transport innovation will be lost. The issues of rural mobility are clear, how the delays in policy making is constraining decision making, investment and innovation. However, we are aware of the key issues around high car dependency, lack of transport options and greater isolation. The call for evidence has initially considered the options for digital demand responsive transport, e-bikes, drone delivery and more widely the role of digital connectivity in rural areas. The government have more recently released the Unleashing Rural Opportunity Report, which summarises government's activities and a list of further actions. Key areas of focus around rural deprivation, digital connectivity, bus funding reform, affordable housing and grid connectivity, local service provisions. So it's clear that governments are on the right track in terms of what the focus is. We just need to push forward, deliver the policy and strategy, and actually really look at how we implement some of the actions on a national level.
So I think it's really interesting to hear, Callum, these all the different sort of work that's going into it, and great to hear that we're on the right track nationally and regionally. Do you want to just expand a bit further on the actual rural mobility policy position that we've got, giving us a bit more in-depth detail?
So the rural mobility policy position was published in May of 2022, and that evidence is fed into the CU Transport Plan 2 in terms of our role within rural mobility. We've worked that up with our local partners, we've engaged with government, we've also engaged with other strategic transport bodies nationally, and we've shared evidence and discussed the way forward. Initially, we undertaken a call for evidence last summer to identify examples of existing rural mobility schemes across the North, identify future aspirations in local areas. This included further details on the strategy and policy documents already taken forward by our partners, ideas of schemes, partners, roles, the costs, timeframes, as well as details on monitoring and evaluation. All this is really important in making the case for investment, in showcasing the schemes, the intervention that have been done to date, and what would work in one rural area may not work in another rural area. What we found within the policy position, it's really important to recognise that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. We've got to consider different rural places have different needs, different users, different resident needs, and also different roles within tourism. We found within our call for evidence, there was definitely a growth in staycations post-COVID. There was then the seasonality brought about by congestion and parking issues due to tourism. Revenue budgets have been declined, particularly for bus services and private vehicle reliance. And the long-term erosion of local service is really significant relating to our role within transport-related social exclusion.
And you've just touched on it there, Callum, that transport-related social exclusion. And we, if you want to go back to our previous podcast episode, you can also learn more about our policy position on that with Tom Jarvis and Tom Maith, who have worked on that, and the impact of the cost of living crisis on that policy position. But in terms of the rural mobility position, how does that sort of fit into this multi-stream approach, bringing everything together? Because obviously, rural mobility on its own is not the solution to everything. How do we bring all these different work programmes together to sort of build that approach that will help to transform the North and bring rural communities with us?
It's a really good point. It's really testament to the wider colleague support within Transport for the North, who provides the detail, the evidence, the tools that can help progress and advance our cause within rural mobility. Part of the rural mobility policy position, we identified that TFM will develop the rural evidence base, enhance our modelling capabilities and better reflect the rural needs. So to do this, we've used the transport-related social exclusion tool. We've analysed initially rural areas that sit outside of fringe areas to identify the level of vulnerability and deprivation and accessibility within these areas. And that's initially give us an idea of where areas are more affluent with better access, but then less affluent with poor access. Trying to work with Tom Jarvis within the team to actually identify what interventions would be best placed. This has also been driven by our work with our economic modelling team, we're now commissioning a piece of work to look at the levels of demand, the characteristics and socioeconomics of various places to understand what interventions would be true for a certain area. This now means that we've been able to work with our connected mobility team to understand demand responsive transport, one potential solution within rural mobility, building on the case study evidence that we've already had to date on what works in one area that may not work in another within demand responsive transport, to establish a playbook that will help support our partners within the procurement and commercial operations of a demand responsive scheme. Also, as part of this, we're also taking further bus travel. We recognise, as I've touched upon at the start of the podcast, bus travel has declined significantly within rural areas, not just in the north, but nationally. For the north, we're developing a policy position for buses. Within this, we're keen to understand how bus service improvement plans can play a part in improving bus access for rural partners, and how we can develop that systems approach we touch upon in this 2-year transport plan around integrating various transport modes. How can we better connect bus services with demand responsive transport to give people a viable option within rural areas that's not just car dependency? Within that then, how do we look at multimodal hubs in our policy position on this work, bringing together rail travel, active travel, but then also the opportunities for electric vehicle charging, building on our electric vehicle charging infrastructure framework. How do we build a network that can use various modes, integrate and better bring about the social outcomes, the environmental outcomes, the economic outcomes we want that we've touched upon within the STP? More recently, the Northern Transport Voices work to map rural travel diaries has been groundbreaking. We've been able to understand from a qualitative approach what is happening within rural areas, how do people travel, how do people interact with the local environment. This has then been able to, for us to then define what sort of interventions are appropriate. The call for evidence has been instrumental in defining case studies. We've got really good evidence now across all the north, ranging from the Derwent Valley Car Club in the northeast, which serves as an electric car club, but also the opportunities to hire electric bikes, all of which are available for local residents, bringing together more aspects of community-led enterprises, bringing together the opportunities to utilise community facilities, residential opportunities, also that spatial planning element, which is important. Similarly, community rail partnerships across North Yorkshire, voicing stakeholder support for rail lines, securing future investment and long-term commitment to improvements. This ranges from opportunities for new stations to also looking at how we can engage in station adoption, creating better sense of pride for local communities to make a station more welcoming and attractive, such as the Friends of Knaresborough station in North Yorkshire.
Obviously, TFN, we want to add value, and that's one of the key parts of our role as the UK's first subnational transport body. Collaboration is a way in which we can add value, and I'm just wondering how sort of, would you say, with government and other partners and stakeholders, are we collaborating to ensure that our rural mobility work is communicated and actioned so that we are helping to deliver on the priorities of rural communities?
Yes, that's a really important point, James. And as we identified within the policy position, we're keen to collaborate with other STBs and engage with government, with DfT and wider stakeholders, bringing together our partners' viewpoints as well. So what we've done is we've shared knowledge and learning with the STB networks nationally to identify best practice, understand the place-based solutions. We regularly meet with the other STBs and we've shared the progress we've made in our rural position to date. But we've also been able to collectively establish the case for investment in rural areas. And we're now working on sharing case studies, how we can share the evidence, how we can understand what works in one area may not work in another. That place-based focus for rural areas is really important. With regards to engagement with DfT, we've also shared the policy position with them. We've been keen to represent our own stakeholder views, and we've established the TFN Rural Working Group for the North. And this brings together our partner viewpoints across rural areas, allows us to have that two-way approach feeding to our partners, but also engaging with other STBs and DfT on this.
Great. And obviously, as I say, collaboration, building on best practice, that is how together we can work with others to really build that best approach that will help to tackle the different issues that each diverse community faces. So I think the final key question, the one that everyone wants to know, is what comes next? What are our priorities moving forward? And what are the next steps from Transport for the North Rural Mobility Strategy?
Yeah, so I think you've already touched upon it there, James. I think the first one is collaboration is really important, recognising that no one-size-fits-all approach. So for us, we're keen to continue to share the evidence and best practice between partners with the other STBs and also DfT to establish the case for investment within rural communities across the north. The second point, as I touched upon at the start of the podcast, the strategic direction, enriching the case for investment for rural communities, focusing not just on the economic outcomes, but the social and environmental outcomes, shaping national policy direction. How can we work with government to bring forward the future of rural transport and actually work on the action plan and implementation of these interventions within rural communities. The third point is around visions and frameworks. How can we focus on people, place-centric design, utilise rural scenarios and develop solutions for rural mobility? All of this is really important to consider residents, tourists, organisations, to understand policy in place, is building on what we've established in the City Transport Plan 2 around a policy in place focused to understand different rural places and that place-led solutions that may differ between visitor destinations, rural fringe, and the more deep rural dispersed and villages. What are the solutions here? Well, the fourth point, applicable interventions. These need to be across all modes, incentivize modal shift, discourage car dependency where necessary, but where possible, facilitate a green transition to electric vehicles. Consider how digital connectivity, the grid capacity, can play a role in this. How do we move forward with infrastructure? That's not just transport. Digital mobility is critical for this. Understanding real-time bus journeys, supporting the bus recovery, mobility hubs condensing transport services, but not just transport mobility, also recognising the role of spatial planning, wider uses, community uses, commercial, residential. It's all really important bringing together what applicable interventions are across the north. And to achieve this is really important in working with our partners in this and providing that strategic direction. All of this as well have that wider outcomes for health and well-being, promoting active travel and combating transport-related social exclusion. My final point around what TFN can go further in this point, it's around supporting our partners within local transport development through the TFN offer. We're already rolling out what our role is in supporting forthcoming local transport plan 4, and also how we can support quantify carbon reduction and the process needed to support our partners here. We're keen to provide our tools and analytics to enhance local transport plan development across all of the north, but this will have a really positive opportunity to enhance rural mobility with our rural partners. So building on these 5 points for TFN, it's important for us to continue the progress we've made to date. Once the STP is published, building on the outcomes within that, the monitoring and evaluation framework is really important within this. But for rural mobility as a policy position, it's constantly evolving, working with our partners, with colleagues across TFN, building in wider work streams to deliver the evidence and tools that ultimately we can make the case for further investment within rural communities. So these communities across the north are not left behind, and innovation and solutions are fostered. Because for rural communities across the north, these represent a range of visitor destinations, communities, attractions that really make rural communities in the north so rich, and we need to protect these and enhance these. And through the rural mobility policy position and working with other colleagues across TFN, other STBs, partners, we can actually make these communities flourish and seize the opportunity for rural communities across the north.
And then just in terms of the immediate future, what are you looking to do with the rural mobility work? What are the next steps straight away in the short term?
It's definitely important to focus on the short term. A lot of these outcomes and ambitions include the more medium term. But in the short term, our rural travel diaries will be published on our website in the forthcoming weeks. This is a really interesting read, and I'd encourage listeners to go and read the outcomes there. Really interesting to see how people in rural areas travel, how they interact with the network and the purpose of trips, the frequency. We'll also be looking at how we can do a TFN Talks event, bringing together rural stakeholders that have a role within this discourse, how we can discuss rural mobility and move this forward for the north. And finally, once the strategic transport plan is published in the new year, we'll be able to build on the outcomes and actually move forward with some of that local connectivity, rural implications. And finally, on local transport plan development, the TFN offer will be published in the forthcoming weeks. This will identify our role in supporting partners within local transport plan development, having a significant opportunity for rural communities and rural partners in this process.
Yeah, thanks very much, Callum. It's been really interesting to hear all the different work streams and all the work that's gone into helping to build the case for rural mobility as we look to transform the north, bringing those communities together and working together collaboratively with government, other STBs and partners to ensure that rural communities, which are part of the lifeblood of the north, are really getting a fair deal. So for more information, you touched on it, Callum, yourself, go to our website, which is www.transportforthenorth.com, where you can read more work on our rural mobility strategy. And if you want to get in touch, email engagement@transportforthenorth.com and we'll get back to you. But all that's left for me to say is thank you, Callum, for joining me today. And thank you to all the listeners and viewers for joining us for this podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Transport for the North podcast. Don't forget you can subscribe on Spotify and SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook for all our latest updates. And join us on our website where you can find all the latest news and sign up to our All Points North newsletter.